I really hope you'll take your copy of God's Word and open to the second book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 26 through 29. These four verses have been called the parable of the seeds, or by some, the parable of the seed growing secretly. And Jesus uses this parable to illustrate for us the mysterious ways in which His kingdom, the kingdom of God, grows. This parable is one of the rare times that Mark captures the parable that Christ gave us that the other gospel writers do not. So although there are elements in this parable with other parables in the other gospels, this parable is unique to Mark. And so by that, I take it that Jesus has a unique message for us this morning from these four little verses. And in these verses, 26 through 29, Christ is describing the kingdom of God, which, as we know from before, is His reign in the hearts of people who claim Him as their king. And we know from Mark 4:14 that the seed that Jesus talks about represents His word, the gospel, the Holy Scriptures, that is sown into the heart soil of men and women, boys and girls. And Jesus uses this parable to show that God's kingdom, the power for God's kingdom, the power for the growth of God's kingdom, comes exclusively from His word, from the seed. Now, earlier in chapter 4, Jesus uses the parable of the sower, the four soils, to stress the importance of our responsibility and how our hearts should respond to God's word. This parable stresses the power of God's word and how that is what leads to fruit and righteousness and how our faithfulness ties into that. So again, he's going to start with a familiar picture of seed growing into a crop to illustrate the work of grace, His word, in human hearts. So if you would, look down at those verses as I read one more time from the ESV and just put yourself at the feet of Christ and hear His voice as He speaks these verses. And so he begins in verse 26 by saying, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." So Jesus begins by giving us a picture of what the kingdom growth is like. And he says it begins essentially, in a way like a farmer scattering seed on the ground. And having scattered a seed as best he can, and perhaps worn out by his effort from the day's labor, the farmer goes to sleep that night. The next morning he awakes and looks, and he checks for any activity, but there's no activity yet. It's too soon. And so he goes back to sleep. And he returns home, and each time he goes to bed, he trusts in the power of the seed, that the seed can germinate and bring life in the soil. He's trusting in the power of the seed. And he fully realizes that he himself can do nothing to cause that seed to germinate and grow. He relies on the seed itself. Beyond the work of tilling and plowing and fertilizing and watering, those things, he can only wait and watch. And so once more he goes back to sleep. In verse 27, where it says he sleeps and rises night and day, that conveys an activity that is continuous. It alludes to a long process in the life of the farmer after he's sown his seed of watching and waiting for something to happen. And then one day, boom! He looks out and there is a little blade, a little green blade starting to come up through the ground. And he watches excitedly day after day as that little blade grows into a stalk, and that stalk develops an ear. And that ear ripens into a full grain, corn, or whatever it is that's there. And it's at that precise moment, after so much waiting and watching, that he's able to reap and enjoy the harvest of his labor. And so that is the picture that Christ has drawn for us about how his kingdom grows, the spiritual kingdom. If you recall, when we looked at parables 2 weeks ago, I really picked up on Warren Wiersbe's three cues to how to look at a parable of Christ. Do you remember what those words were? He gives us a picture, and if you look at that picture, when we look closely, it should become a mirror that reflects our own soul, our own state before him. And if we look closely at that mirror, as James says, it should, if we don't forget what's there but take action, with His help, it should become a window into God's grace and what He's doing in us and through us, a window into His future grace. And so this morning, as we look at the picture Christ lays out, we see the picture on the work of a grace of His grace in an individual soul, and that begins with a scattering of seed. And again, remember that seed represents not just God's Word, but the amazing power contained inside His Word, His Scriptures. And we need to look closely at this picture that Christ gives us so that we don't fail, that we don't underestimate the power that is in God's Word, that we don't fail to rely on it utterly and trust it completely. And then as we look at that picture that's portrayed, we should see a mirror. We should see something of ourselves reflecting back. And so that mirror is probably asking questions about our own experience and demonstrating where we're at in terms of God's kingship and His reign in our life. At one level, it asks the question, has the Word actually penetrated my heart and my soul? Have I actually placed my trust in the Scriptures that bring life and the gospel of Christ? Can I remember the exact person or persons who faithfully scattered God's seed in my soul in the moment that God activated that seed and it became life in my heart? Do I periodically pause and reflect and relive that moment and give thanks to God? And is that Word still today growing inside my heart? Is the mirror showing that? Is it bringing forth discernible fruit? And is that fruit still ripening, or is it starting to die on the vine? Those are questions the mirror should be asking us as we look. But also, I think, and more to the point for this parable today, I think the mirror should be asking us this question, am I a faithful sower? What does this picture of God's Word show us? Are we being faithful sowers, taking God's Word and regularly scattering it into the lives of those we come into contact on a daily basis? What does the mirror say about that? And then finally, at the end, we're going to look at the window. This mirror, as we look at it, should become a window, and it should serve as an encouragement, because it's a window that allows us to see a glimpse of the future joy of that final harvest one day. This parable assures us that we will fully see one day and fully realize and enjoy the fruits of our labor in this life as we see souls who've been brought to Christ because we faithfully scattered His Word and God used His Word in their lives. So this parable helps us to know now that it is worth it, if we look closely, it is worth it to invest our lives in scattering the seed, God's powerful Word, into the lives of others. So let's begin now with that picture of God's Word. Again, this picture reveals, and as we look at it as a mirror, it will help really reveal what we truly believe. We can say we believe this about God's Word, but if we look closer, it will tell us. And when I think about this parable, about the seed becoming life in the lives of others, I am mystified that if this is truly an all-powerful Word of God that does this, I am mystified when I share the gospel with friends and colleagues and neighbors and loved ones, and it bounces off, and it makes no discernible impact. And I think, if God's Word is so powerful, why don't I see more of an impact? You guys have that same question. Why is it not causing more of an impact if it really is that powerful? Or perhaps you've convinced yourself, you know, really the problem is not God's Word, it's me. I'm not sowing the Word right. I'm not gifted at sowing the Word. And so you're tempted to give up trying. You maybe stop talking about the gospel and about the things of God to others. Or maybe your apparent lack of success has driven you a different direction. Maybe if you're a type A personality, you're going to take that seed and really plant it deep, forcefully, and you're going to force the kingdom of God to grow in that person's life. There's different reactions to that. And so this sermon is it can speak to us in that role. So verse 27, the important thing about verse 27 is that what is important is that it is God's Word that we sow. What we sow, God's Word, and that we sow it, is far more important than our sowing technique. And when you think about what the farmer did here, he just scattered. I mean, that's probably the least efficient way of raising a crop. Wouldn't you agree? Just scattering seed on the surface? And yet it doesn't matter. God blesses it. The important thing is that he actually sowed, and what he sowed was God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, and the lives of those around him. And I really like how the NIV words verse 27, because it focuses on what happens afterwards. It really relies on the power of God, not on us. The NIV says in verse 27, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Isn't that neat? Almost regardless. Now, we don't take this too far, but almost regardless of what he does, after he plants it, it is God's Word is what's active. It is God's Word is where the power is coming from. It's not what this guy does. Now, sure, he's going to pray. He's going to do those things. We don't want to give up on that. But yet, at the end of the day, the power comes from his word, not from us, the planters. When you look at parables, you want to look for things that stand out because it will help us to interpret what Christ is driving at. What is he using this parable to give us a picture of? So in the parable of 2 weeks ago, we looked at something that was improbable. It's improbable that someone light a lamp and stick it under a bed, right? And here, we want to look at what is given unnecessary emphasis. And in this case, any farmer, or an even amateur farmer, or a gardener knows that if we were to do this, if we were to scatter seeds in this laid-back way, it does not give the best success for the seeds to grow. A crop left to fend for itself after just scattering seed is probably not going to be worth harvesting. I mean, if you were to do this with your lawn, if you took a dry lawn and just scattered seed, well, it would look like my lawn after I get busy. It's not very nice. And so the farmer's apparent inaction after sowing is used by Christ to illustrate this one main point about how God's kingdom grows. It tells us there is much beyond the farmer's control, much beyond our control, and even says there's much beyond his comprehension. He cannot make the seed grow. He doesn't even understand exactly how it grows, but it doesn't matter. In the same way, we cannot explain why God's word takes root in the life of someone we share it with and has no impact on someone else, no discernible impact. We don't know, and that's okay. It shouldn't stop us from scattering the seed, as it didn't stop the farmer. It is hidden from us because we know that God alone gives life, and it's solely from his word, ultimately, that power to grow comes from. So ultimately, the success of the kingdom growth, Jesus is saying, does not depend on human effort, although we certainly are involved, and we certainly need to be involved in sowing and watering and irrigating, etc. But at the end of the day, it's divine power. And so if the seed fails or succeeds, it's based solely on God and his word being active and powerful in the lives of people. You remember reading, I'm sure, a while back, they found some seeds inside the pyramids. You remember that? And they're estimating to be about 3,000 years old, these seeds. And they planted these seeds, and what happened? They sprouted and came up, and the scientists were amazed. Think about that. The power of the seed was dormant over 3,000 years, yet it was so powerful, over 3,000 years, it came to life. And certainly God's word can be no less. The words Christ spoke 2,000 years ago are still there. And if you plant them today, even if they're 2,000 years old, because they're alive and active, it's the power of the seed that comes to life. And so don't forget that as you're thinking about the time it takes for a seed to root and to appear. And so the seed is reliable. God's word is reliable. And we can have confidence knowing that God's word will not return void. It just may take longer than we think. And so there is that power in God's word that we can't fail to make sure we realize that in its full length. The seed reveals the true power of God, but it's only over time, and it's not always in visible ways. And look at verse 28 with me again. There Jesus says, "The earth produces by itself." And that phrase, by itself, literally means the word is automatically. It's where we get the word automatic from. When you think about this word, the only time it's used in the New Testament besides here is in Acts chapter 12. You remember when the angel came and freed Peter from the prison? And the angel's leading him out, and they come to an iron gate? What happens? The gate opens automatically. It's the same word, and it's the same thing. God allows the seed to grow automatically, irrespective of what we do. It doesn't matter what we do or don't do. I mean, we have a role. But again, it's what happens. What opens that seed and begins to grow is automatic. It's God's power inside the seed. And so the important thing here to remember is that the seed is powerful. It is powerful. It just isn't always showy. The seed is powerful, but it is not always showy. What happens oftentimes remains hidden from our view because the seed works underground in the hidden places that are the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. So verse 28 tells us beyond that is that the seed growth often manifests itself, if it's seen at all, it's seen slowly, over time in stages. It says at first there's a blade, a hint of green, and then the ear, and then the full grain. It doesn't happen all at once. There's a quote that says years ago, nature does nothing at one bound. It does take time. And so kingdom growth is the same way. It's constant. Night and day, while man sleeps, God's seeds are active and growing over a long period of time. It may be hidden, but they're not inactive, and there is real growth. And that growth is inevitable. Think about the power of a tree root. When it encounters a block of concrete or a hard rock, it can split those things because it's unstoppable power. That same power is a symbol of what's in God's Word, but even more so. God's work and His purposes in His Word are unstoppable. And so for those who maybe are tempted to take too much on themselves and their own technique of sewing, there's a great quote here from a pastor named Scott Grant. And you know you can trust anything coming from a Pastor Scott, right? Okay. But he makes a great, helpful reminder here. He says, the parable here that Jesus is giving us encourages us to engage in kingdom work, but also to do rhythmically, to cast our seeds and go to sleep, to do the work and get out of the way. And that's not, again, to preclude our prayers and other things that we're doing. But it is possible for us to smother the seeds if we hover over them. Hovering can not only smother God's work in others, but can also smother His work of faith in us. And many of us, because we don't trust God, place impossible burdens on ourselves to produce results. We leave no room for God to work in others or in ourselves. And so what counts for us as farmers in God's sight is our faithfulness, and our faithfulness in sowing. And so faithfulness counts. Our faithfulness in sowing God's word is what's important. Don't forget that this whole process begins with the scattering of the seed. The farmer is faithful to scatter the seed. That's what begins the process. The power is in the seed, but the farmer must begin the process. And so we're allowed by God to participate in this way. And we must sow God's word in faith. Look at verse 27. The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps night and day, and the seed sprouts, and he grows and grows. But he knows not how. And so though the sower does not understand exactly what's happening, even though he doesn't see any immediate results, he shows his trust in the seed by sowing faithfully. And of course, that's the whole point of faith, isn't it? Faith is things we can't see. We do things not able to see the results. All that we can do as farmers for God is to plant and trust. And again, we can water, fertilize, irrigate, all those things, but we cannot cause, nor should we expect our own efforts to cause the growth. Ultimately, the growth comes from the power of God's own word. We must leave that to the power of His seed. And as every farmer knows, ultimately, it's the power of the creator of the seed that causes things to grow. And so as we think about this picture, we should look closely enough to see a mirror. And I hope you're looking at the mirror the same way I'm looking at the mirror this morning from this parable. Because it brings up two statements, two admissions I have to make. It's two I statements. You ready? Here's the first one. I cannot do this. The second one is, I don't know how it works. Fair enough? I cannot do this, and I don't know how it works. Yet I'm still called to faithfully bear farmer for God, to still scatter the seeds. Even if I don't know how it works, even if I can't do it on my own, I'm expected to at least scatter the seeds. And these thoughts are echoed by Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:6. Remember, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but who caused the growth? God did. And then later on, Jesus in John 3 says, the wind blows wherever it wishes, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. We don't know, we can't cause growth, yet we're called as faithful farmers to sow. And so it is faithfulness counts, faithfully planting the seeds that God gives us in His words. This parable should also help us as we look at the mirror to make sure we're not using that mirror to evaluate the work of the kingdom by mere appearances, because everything's happening, for the most part, underground and over time. And so it should help encourage us in some ways to faithfully engage in the work despite the appearances, despite the look of drought and drought fields around us. Because again, faith involves believing what we can't see, right? We must believe that something's happening underground. And usually we can't measure the results of kingdom work, nor do we want to try and measure ourselves against the apparent results we're seeing. That can lead to really wrong conclusions. The important thing is to be faithful doing the work in season, out of season, faithfully casting the seeds even when we have nothing to show for our efforts. God calls us to faithfulness. And, you know, really, in my own life, I find that God, He does His best work, His deepest work in hearts during apparent times of spiritual barrenness. I think back years ago when I had my second tour with the 101st, and I was a busy guy. I was the executive officer and then later the operations officer for an Apache attack battalion. And so Lois will tell you, when I went in the morning, I'd kiss her goodbye at 5:30, 5:45 to go to PT. I didn't see her until after 8 o'clock that night. And that was a good day. And that's not counting the Saturdays and weekends we worked. It's not counting deployments. But that was a busy life. And I just felt after that time when I left after my tour there, I thought, you know, Lord, I just was hanging on spiritually. And what was really neat was a couple months later after I left, I got a card from a lieutenant in a unit. And he said, hey, Major Eichelberger, I want you to know how much your stand for the gospel meant to me and this other lieutenant. And I had no clue. But I was just trying to faithfully do what I could, hanging on, but doing what I could to be faithful, sowing seeds. And God used that. And I thought my time had been wasted as far as the kingdom's concerned. And God showed me otherwise. What matters, even in difficult, barren times, is to be faithful, even when you don't see the results of what you're saying and what you're doing with God's word. He is faithful with his own word. And so, as stewards, we're required to be found faithful and trustworthy. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4. We are servants of Christ, and we are stewards of the mysteries of God, the seeds of his word. And moreover, it is required for us as stewards that we may be found faithful. So be faithful, even when you can't see the results. And then finally, we want to look to the window, which is offered to us, this window in this parable in Mark 4, the last verse, verse 29, which reads, but when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now in verse 29, this harvest almost certainly represents the end of the age. And when I think about the end of the age, the final harvest, I think judgment, condemnation of the wicked. But the focus here in this parable seems to be otherwise. It seems to really help us balance it by not just condemnation of the wicked, but it seems like this will also reveal the faithfulness of believers who have faithfully sown and now get to enjoy the benefits of the harvest at the end of time. It's a positive thing, something we should look forward to. It's a window to God's future grace. So I think Jesus is telling this parable to his disciples. Mark's recording it, so we make sure we hear his words, to encourage us as his disciples, both back in his day and our day now, because they encountered frustration. They weren't seeing the kingdom of God advance very quickly in Christ's day. And in our own day, we see roadblocks and frustrations. And as we scatter our seeds, it seems like it just bounces off the soil of people's hearts. And so Christ gives us this parable to encourage us. Even when people reject the gospel on the surface, don't give up, because something is happening. God is faithful to his word. It will not return void. And the kingdom never seems to grow as quickly or as obviously that we hope it would as believers. That's true. But it's the case then and the case now that can lead to discouragement if we're not careful. And so if we're faithful, we may find that our days of apparent barrenness were actually some of the most fruitful days and years if we continue to share the word. The parable of the sower and the four soils earlier in Mark 4 demonstrates that the initial response of a person to the gospel is not always their final response. It can vary over time. And so good and noble hearts stick with the seed of God's word, and by perseverance in their sowing produce a crop. And we may not know until heaven whether that crop is 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold. But there is this thought from Luke 15, verse 10, where Jesus says, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And if there's much joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, imagine how much joy there's going to be over multiple sinners. And sinners who came to Christ, who had new life in Christ because you are faithful scattering the word. You get to rejoice with the Savior, with the angels, and those who benefited from God's word being planted by you. Again, it's God's power, but you get to share in that joy, and that's our window to encourage us to do this. And it's true that in many cases, the seeds of the gospel that we plant will never bear fruit until long years, in some cases after we die. You guys, I'm sure, have heard the stories of parents and grandparents who have prayed for their kids and grandkids, and they passed away, went on to glory, and those folks never came to Christ until after, in some cases many years after that person died. And that's okay, because it counts for eternity. But other times, it seems like God knows we need a little encouragement. And so I think that's the point of verse 28. He shows us a little blade, or a little stalk, to encourage us that there is something going on, that his word does become alive in the hearts of unbelievers, even the most hardened ones. And I had an experience of this the past week. I worked for 3 years, one of my last tours in the Army, with a soldier I just have to describe as an out-and-out pagan. I mean, he was a hardened pagan. This guy, he had colorful metaphors I've never heard the like in 22 years in the military. And his heart, no matter what I would talk to him about, just seemed hard. He had a tough exterior. He had a couple combat tours. He was a tough guy. And he loved the Army, but not much else. And so at the end of my 3 years, I was kind of getting discouraged, thinking, again, my seeds are just bouncing off this guy, just like throwing them on the hardwood here and just bouncing. But he surprised me. He absolutely shocked me as I was leaving. He gave me a farewell card. In fact, Lois, my wife, kept this card. So you'll see it's addressed very fondly to the frickin' aviator. His words, not mine. A term of great endearment, I'm sure. But what's neat is this card. He writes thanks, and he thanks me for the input I had in his life. And the card says this: thanks. You may not burn in hell after all. But then he adds this note: but I may. So please keep praying for me. What a thought. That guy, after 3 years of no sign, suddenly God shows me this little blade starting to come up. I thought, wow, how exciting is that? And so Lois and I, over the last 7 years, have been praying for this guy week after week on a regular basis because we were excited about this. We saw the seeds starting to take shape. And so this past week on Facebook, I was checking his we stayed in loose touch, but this week on Facebook, he put a great statement. Let me read this to you on the next slide. He writes this: God, please help me to remember that my feelings may be deceiving to me. Help me to remember that my only hope is through my relationship with you. God, please give me knowledge of your will for me and the power to carry it out, just for today, just for this moment. God, thank you for the clarity of knowing you are the only sure solution. You know, that is God's seed at work. And, you know, to be sure, he's still working out just exactly who Christ is as his Savior and Lord. But there's no mistaking the power of God's word has taken root in this man's heart and is growing. You know, all of us want to change the world. But sooner or later, as we come out of our idealism, we start to realize we're incapable of doing much change as one person. Some can, but not everyone. But Jesus gives the way for every believer to make a change. He tells us the way to do that is to be a farmer, to farm out the seeds of his word in the lives of those we meet. You don't even have to be a good farmer. You can just be one that just scatters. I mean, you want to be good, don't get me wrong. But any way you do to get God's word out, it is his word that's active, not our efforts, not our technique. It is his word. Don't be shy about sharing his word in the lives of your friends and neighbors and loved ones. And to be a farmer, it takes a great deal of faith, doesn't it, to be a farmer? It takes a great deal of patience because it takes time. And especially in times of drought, it takes a great deal of courage to keep sowing your seeds. But we have the promise of Jesus Christ himself in this parable that we will see the results of our labor one day. We will reap joy at the final harvest if we're faithful now as sowers, as farmers for God. Paul reminds us the same thing in Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do not give up. Your reward is sure.